the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen. So my topic this afternoon is addiction. And I want to say that the real title, which I want to share, is Hope for the Addict. And I believe we're starting a new series called Lord Help Me, which is very appropriate for this subject. Now, I want to answer three questions this afternoon. First of all, in terms of addiction, what is it? What's a working definition? Secondly, what are the causes of addiction? And thirdly, what does the Bible say about struggles and despair, like what people experience in addiction? So firstly, what is it? Well, addiction is that dependency on a substance or an activity, an unstoppable craving. I need to have it. I can't do without it. It's like a compulsion, a weakness, a fixation, an enslavement to something. And of course, there are many kinds of addictions. We can be addicted to food or to shopping, something that I'm not addicted to, I'm glad to say. Pornography, drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet. There's a whole range of addictions. And having spoken to people in my ministry regarding addictions, often people say, Jim, it's like I can't get out of it. I feel boxed in, and I have sleepless nights, and I feel a failure because I can't overcome it. There's no victory in sight. And I'm angry with myself because I'm not free yet. And such is the frustration and the utter struggle that people have when they are addicted to something that holds them like a vice grip. It's like a huge mountain which is unable to be climbed. And people with addictions need not so much judgment, but hope. That's my title, Hope for the Addict. So that's the first point. The second point is this: what are the causes of addiction? Well, there are many. Sometimes people with very low self-esteem have to get something to prop themselves up. They think they're rubbish, they're useless, so they turn to a substance or activity which comes over their lives and dictates their lives. There can be genetic factors. For example, if you are brought up in a family where many people have addictions, it seems to be come on you from the other members of the family. Could be peer pressure. You've got to sample it, do it, experiment with it, and all kinds of pressure can come on our minds to give way. These are just one or two examples. However, it's not always very clear as to the person how they got into addiction. Here's what somebody once said to me. It just happened to me. I can't find some reason. I just began to do it. And once I started, I couldn't get out of it. What is important in terms of addiction is this: to get to the root of the problem. Not the symptom, but the root. And the Bible teaches us that the root of our problems, or anxieties, or fixations, or problems, or addictions, is a spiritual root. And once the spiritual root is tackled, then we can deal with the problem. A recent survey in Britain concluded that 1 in 3 people are addicted to something or have addictions. Now, that survey might not be entirely accurate, but what we can say is this: many people struggle, are tortured by addictions of various types. And there is this darkness, or as the passage says in verse 3, the despair that people feel, not being free and not overcoming this addiction. I have a lovely story to tell you. I just love this. When I was asked to come here and share on the subject of addiction, two days later, I met a man in Aberdeen. And I said, "Hi, I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?" He says, "I'm fine, Jim." "That's good." He says, "But you don't understand this." I said, "What?" He says, "For 40 years, I was addicted to alcohol and cigarettes. My health deteriorated. I was in a mess. And you know what I did? I did something really nice. I went to a church and I got prayer and I found God and I was delivered." And he said, "I am free." And when I looked at him, he looked free. When I heard him, it was freedom, freedom words. I said, "That's an amazing story. More than 40 years? He says, "Yes, Jim, and now I am free. I'm not going back. God has delivered me." And I thought, I need to share that with you today. Thirdly, what does the Bible say about freedom from darkness? Well, look at verse 1. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." These words are very special. Freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Now, in the Bible, there's something called the divine exchange. And I'll explain it to you very simply. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, he rendered sin ineffective. He defeated sin and the power of sin and the power of death and the power of despair. That is called the truth of the gospel. And the Bible teaches us that it's the truth, or the knowledge of the truth, or the application of the truth that sets us free. The fact of the matter is, Jesus has done the work for us. He has broken or cancelled the power of all sin and addictions on the cross by virtue of his death and resurrection. But the other side of the equation is this: that's the truth, that's the fantastic truth, that's what we hold on to, but there's the application of it, there is the belief of it, there is the trust in it. And to make this truth real, we need to activate it. We need to say, "Lord, your victory is my victory. I cannot overcome it in my own strength." There are societies and people and groups in the world today who are very helpful to people with addictions. Absolutely. And be sensible and receive help. But the real issue, above all other issues, is a spiritual issue. And when Jesus' victory becomes my victory, I am set free and released from darkness. Now, you see, the man in the story, he did the right thing. He said, "I can't cope. I can't handle it. It's too much, it's too big, too complicated. I'm in despair. I will ask for help." I will ask for spiritual help. And he overcame his addiction. Now, the Bible teaches us, and the gospel message is this, that we can give ourselves to Jesus and our problems and our hang-ups and our addictions. We say, I'll give you that, Lord. That's the deal. I give you those things I can't handle. You give me your spirit, your strength. You come and live inside my life and take charge and give me that strength and that boldness to say, be gone in Jesus' name. And that is what we call the good news of the gospel. And that's for anybody. You're not too bad. You're not too late. You're not too despairing. It's never, ever too bad. You're not too sinful. Jesus can help us to overcome any problem or difficulty and will continue to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Look at verse 3. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. A person with addiction doesn't think their lives are beautiful. The oil of gladness instead of mourning and despair. And look, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Do you know why Jesus wants to set us free? It's for our benefit, but it's also so that his name is proclaimed throughout all the earth. Maybe there is someone here today, and you think, whoa, I'm addicted. I'm in trouble. I'm gagged and bound. Ropes are around me. It feels like that. And I can't break out. I commend Jesus to you and his power to you, because the power of the cross and the resurrection is able to set us free. Free indeed. And we can say, as the title of the series says, Lord, help me. And many people are crying out to God these days, Lord, help me. And God always responds to that cry. And he'll hear your cry and my cry today. I'm going to lead in prayer in a few moments. And I'm going to be hanging around here as well with you. I believe there's refreshments. If you want to come and talk to me, I'm here to help. If you want prayer, I'm here to help. You want to chat about it, I'm here to chat with you. Thanks for listening. Now let us pray.